Yeah, Ruben.
Oh, that's Ruben.
Hello.
I think we're ready, Gail.
Okay, can you, well, I'm sorry. Can you hold on just a second? I apologize.
Well, let me go ahead and, you know, do a formality until we can do a formal roll call.
Okay. Okay, I got it.
Good afternoon. It's October 8th, 12:30 p.m. We are at the Nature Catholic Medical Board meeting. From the Attorney General's Office, we have Ms. Asta and Deputy Director, Ms. Annalee, and we'll do a roll call at this point.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick? Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin? And Dr. Campbell is absent today. We have quorum.
Next, I'm going to move on to item number two, any conflicts of interest on anything on the agenda from the board members. Okay. I'm going to move on to number three, the in accordance with the open meeting law, the board has its billing policies and we have to disorder the conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. If you violate this, we'll ask you once. And if you're on the internet, we'll disconnect you from the phone. I'm going to go on to number four. I'd like to run 4A through P, if possible. And I'll need a motion.
So moved. This is David Rubin.
Thank you, Dr. Rubin. Second
motion. I'm sorry, Dr. Rubin.
Sure. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
On to number five, and we'll start off with 5A. Case 5A, and that's 20-146, and this is the initial interview. And this Dr. Christina,
I'm the
Okay. Christina, you have legal counsel or are you on your own today?
I'm on my own.
You're on your own. Okay. And I think I'm just overview of the case.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 20-146. On April 13th, 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between July 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2019. And the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 36 patients for medical marijuana during the time frame and queried the database only 16 times. On April 14th, 2020, respondent was notified of the complaint and asked to respond. According to respondent, between July and August of 2019, he worked a total of 7 days certifying patients for medical marijuana. The clinic he worked for was Guthrie Chiropractic, doing business under marijuana certifications and located at 3102 West Thomas Road in Phoenix. Respondent failed to complete the appropriate requirements for certifying a patient for medical marijuana and failed to keep adequate medical records. According to respondent, his CSPMP delegate was Brett Guthrie, who is a chiropractor. Dr. Guthrie confirmed that he was the delegate of record for respondent during that time frame. During that time, medical marijuana certifications were being done in a CBD store. The CSPMPs were being viewed on a computer screen but not printed. Dr. Guthrie asserts that the discrepancy is because he had a non-delegate pulling PMPs using his account and that she must have logged some reports under another physician's name. Records are unavailable. According to Dr. Guthrie, during that time, he was scanning in all of the documents and shredding all the paper files. His computer crashed a few months ago, and he lost all the digital files during that time period.
So, in response to the summary that was provided, as they wrote in the letter, they attempted to get an engineer with which company. So they were 7 Mondays, about a month and a half or so.
After they came to the clinic, et cetera, what was your procedure for your exam and your assessment of eligibility for medical cannabis or certification.
So, trying to find a, and had a copy of the intake form, but the intake form asked questions about patient history. But when we did the intake, I was able to ask specifics about the source, the pain quality of the pain, things that they've done to try to alleviate the pain without using medical marijuana, to make sure they kind of use other options before coming to us. And do the review system, make sure that there weren't anything that would be concerning there. And asked about any current medication history, medical history that would be pertinent. I performed quick just heart pump, did some physical more like a physical test depending on what they were coming for. And everything was documented and written down. And I think that, and obviously the ACCMP would have pulled up the once they sat down, even before they sat down. As a patient registered, I got to do the intake form and then pulled up the ACCMP. That, and then we had the forms to fill out once they were there for them to have the certification. Again, this is a year ago. I'm trying to pull back exactly what we did step by step. I think that's the most of it.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to the other board members. Let me ask Dr. Papillo for his thoughts on it.
Doctor, when you guys were doing your chart note, so I understand that Dr. Guthrie was scanning records and everything in his computer. How were you actually doing your part of chart notes, or was it a Word document that was stored on his computer then?
No, so we had paper charting and so hard copies of the a chart note that I would fill out as the interview went along. So just kind of handwritten, and then we would take that with the paperwork that was necessary for them to be certified. Dr. Guthrie would take that and submit it, scan it before submitting. We don't hear about how that was sent in by them for them to get the certification, but they were handwritten and then we would take them and he would scan it on the spot. He would take them after that shift, and I believe he would go home or where his office and put those through. So I never really got to see, I did get a copy of the chart note that day, or for those 7 days, I did get a copy of the chart note, and I just trusted that they were being housed properly, they were being stored properly. He was somebody that was, I trusted that his procedure there was appropriate.
Well, as you can imagine, obviously not being able to use the chart notes is a concern. So obviously this is nothing you're doing any longer, but how are you now taking care of your chart notes to ensure that this would never happen to you again?
So I am currently, again, not working with medical marijuana. I am the resident physician at a clinic in Phoenix that does all paper charting. We chart solely the building that's what I've always thought to be the appropriate way, that they have to file stay in the building, the clinical locations are seen and they're being locked in the building. So right now, all of my charting is paper charting. I don't do anymore. I don't work with any other company currently. It's just this clinic. The Emergent Care Clinic, we function as primary care for a lot of patients as well. It's a good, it's 15 to 20 patients a day paper charting. It's stored at the facility.
So that was my main concern, is what you're doing moving forward to, if there's ever an issue again in the future, how you could be able to use the actual chart notes, and if you were doing something similar to what Dr. Guthrie was doing, how you were ensuring that you would always have the final.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be destroying or even whatever he was doing after he was standing, I mean, I know that you do have to still hold on to our copy of paper, of charging. And that for me was upsetting to hear that he couldn't even provide that part of it. So I, unfortunately, I know better now that it meant to be a lot more assertive about things that are being done under my license, how things are being stored, and how files are being housed or where they're being housed, all of this I, you know, and very much going to be a lot more cognizant and about.
I don't have any more questions.
Ms. Tibbetts?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. And Ms. Gallen?
I don't have any questions at the moment.
Dr. Spratt? Oh, I don't have any questions either. Everything I think is addressed by Dr. Pompeo. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't really either. I think, you know, reading through the case and the response from Guthrie, it just sounds like we have a doctor who attests to seeing everything. There's paper checks that are missing. There's a lot of maybe this, maybe that. And again, we have this somebody on the line that, or we have some kind of echo. And it sounds like every time somebody talks, we can. This like echo happens. I don't know if that's
I think it's a TV.
Seems to happen every time or I talk.
It disappeared now.
Telling you it happens when somebody talks. Boom.
There you go.
Well, totally couldn't even hear myself think. I think you and Dr. Papil did a great job interviewing me. I really don't have anything to add here. Thank you.
Where you're currently at, do you said you're using paper charter?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a couple ways we can go with this, and I'm going to give it back to the physician numbers. Is he doing paper charts now? If we wanted to check his charting, we could either take his word for it that he will send us a few of his paper charts, i.e., perhaps just the examination parts of it, and we could make a motion on that. I'm going to kick it back to the physician members.
Well, I actually was trying to think of anything saying that, you know, with these cases, with medical marijuana cases, we're really getting a good sense of people who can chart and people who can't. And so, you know, while we don't really have anything to go on here, I would say, you know, generally to dismiss it. However, I think it would be, you know, we should see an example of at least some standard chart notes to make sure that. You know, we don't miss something that moving forward for whatever reason, he's not going to be in front of the board for failure to do adequate chart notes as well.
So we have a couple options. We could, and this is probably up your alley, Ms. Asta, in terms of the option we would have. My thought would be to have him within the next 30 days. Submit for paper chart notes, and then the board could assess those, and then at that time make determines on which way we'd like to go with this case.
An option.
Okay. Would the proper framing be continuation till next meeting?
I think Gail, is that the terminology that's been used?
Yes, I believe the motion would be to continue the matter for further investigation.
Okay. So I'll make the motion to continue for further investigation pending the review of four paper charter notes on four paper charter notes to make sure we're all on the same wavelength in terms of the charter procedure.
So we all second that motion.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
IB case number 20-149. Dr. Erica Middleman, is she on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I haven't had any questions.
Thank you. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 20-149, Dr. Erica Middlemiss. On April 13th, 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between July 1st, 2019 and December 31st, 2019. And the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 41 patients for medical marijuana during that time frame and queried the database zero times. On April 14th, 2020, respondent was notified of the complaint and asked to respond to the information provided by DHS. In her response to the board dated April 15th, 2020, respondent admitted when she first began doing medical marijuana certifications in October of 2019, she did not have a DEA number, which meant she could not get her own PMP account as a prescriber, but that she did have an account under Dr. Ramis as a delegate, and she used the delegate account to check her PMP, CSPMP patients. On August 19th, 2020, board staff subpoenaed the records for three patients. After review, in summary, respondent failed to complete the appropriate requirements for certifying a patient for medical marijuana and failed to keep adequate medical records. On 12/11/2019, respondent certified ZB for medical marijuana. Respondent signed the medical marijuana certification form attesting she had reviewed the CSPMP report. However, there's no copy of the report available in the medical record as required. On 10/25/19, respondent certified AE for medical marijuana, signing the medical marijuana certification form attesting she had reviewed the CSPMP report. However, there's no copy of the report available in the file as required. On 12/11/2019, respondent certified SL for medical marijuana. Respondent signed the medical marijuana certification form attesting she had reviewed the CSPMP. However, there's no copy of the CSPMP in the record as required. Respondent may have certified patients for medical marijuana without performing an appropriate physical examination and without having appropriate prior medical records to support the diagnosis for which she certified. Patient ZB certified for severe and chronic low back pain. Respondent charts ZB has a history of low back pain times 3 years. However, there are no prior medical records available in the chart. Respondent did not attempt any other modalities or send out for appropriate labs or x-rays to find the source of the pain. Patient SL, respondent certified this patient based off of three prior certifications by another provider who originally used a chiropractic diagnosis from the day of the original certification.
So I have a question about the PMP report. So each one of these patients, when their PMP was pulled,
they did not have a report. And so we're having a little box comes up and it just says there is no report for this patient. So there's nothing to download or to put in the chart. You just wrote it in the chart. Nothing can be do to check in that case. If that's not the case, and there is a report, then that report is undownloaded and out of the back. So this is what we make for any of these. And for patient ZB, he had a history of being a weightlifter and an athlete where he was lifting a heavy weight and he often heard a pop in his back and took a walk motion. So from his history, I did a physical exam that was concurrent with what he told me to evaluate a disc herniation or impingement there in the lumbar spine. And I did not attempt any other modalities or send out for x-rays because I was to the end of this point too, so these patients are not my primary care. And so I feel like I was dropped with a primary care physician in that case. And then with patient SL, his pre-primary herniation, the original chiropractic diagnosis, also from that chiropractic form, the patient has seen prior to the chiropractor an orthopedic doctor where he had an MRI which showed a fracture of the spine and herniated disc. And so I reevaluated him to reestablish that this was still going on by doing appropriate exams and found that feature. And yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. So that I understand, then I'll turn it over to the other board members. What was your, let's start from A to Z. So the patient schedules that come in, you were filling in, and then what transpires
yes.
from that point?
So, okay, so I would fill in per day. There were several days where Dr. Hachana would need a day off, and I would fill in for her. And so they would schedule patients for maybe 3 or 4 hours that day. So I would come in, the patients would check in at the front desk. They checked in electronically, and their information is kept in the health system. And then I'm able to pull that up on my computer. I'm able to see all of their information and any test charts or history. And then I bring those back. And I sit and do their intake and talk to them about their history, do a physical exam, and, you know, certify what they call that. Oh, check the EMT, obviously, yeah. As I'm sitting there with them, I do that. It's part of the procedure. I just, as I'm filling it out, I check it. And I'm filling out their certification form.
Okay, so before you would complete the certification form, you check the PMP.
Yes.
Okay. So let me turn it, if I could, we'll go off from the roll here. We'll go first with Dr. Rubin and get his viewpoints, and then we'll go Dr. Spann, et cetera.
Okay, hey, good afternoon. You said something that your role is to evaluate the medical marijuana, and that's it. They qualify to assess their medical location. You're not acting in a primary care sense.
Correct.
Okay, so for ZE, for instance, did you check to make sure that they have a physician or primary care physician, or do you have an application? Maybe kind of take it from there and see the way I look at it, just because when somebody comes to a doctor's office, regardless of what they're doing, if they're deploying, they're taking that on their responsibility. And so, I don't see, the only thing we have here, I'm looking through it, is from 12/11/19, it's just one chart now. And so, how do you know what's going on with this patient? 19 years old.
Right. Well, just, the concern that we need to have your head there and some of those will run. Unfortunately, a lot of things that you are not for this or not, but a lot of things that you don't have insurance. And so they aren't seeing anyone during the primary care anymore, so they have the ability to do, you know, that for but if I do think that there is something going on, then they need evaluation for, and I absolutely recommend that they go and have that evaluated. And that's what I said, one nice thing that I liked about doing this is that I don't see patients, but I don't really want to see some different communities that don't have them left in the doctor. I'm talking about things like children with diet, looking there with themselves. You know, so that was a little bonus. But my experience doing this, I enjoy. But I'm also not doing this anymore as well. I was just filling in. I don't have the time to do it anymore.
You don't have the time to do it.
Wait. Oh, you're not currently doing this. I'm not. Correct.
Oh, this was just in the past. What are you doing now? I missed that part.
Correct. I'm not sure. I don't think they have the mind and the emotions with my patients now. So I do mostly, we'll call it counseling. It's not primary care medicine.
Good. At the same clinic?
No.
Okay. So this was a period of time?
Yes. Yes, from October until beginning of June. When COVID hit, Dr. O'Shaughnessy asked me to fill in an elderly mother at home. She was afraid of exposing her mother, and so I filled in for her for a couple weeks. Actually, I think it was more like 5. So, and that was the extent of it. And they've asked me to fill in since, and I have to say no.
Got it. The next paper, let's see here, SL.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I can't remember if this was just a continuation or if this was a new patient.
You have to write the record for our certification.
Got it. Okay. But, you know, I don't have any more questions. I'm fine. You can go on, Dr. Sandler.
Thank you.
Everyone
have a strap.
Not a naturopathic medical technique. It's not something that you're
So when you look at the CV, for example, are you using assessments? Are you actually using ICD-10 codes, or are you just writing in a couple words for your assessments on pitching?
I'm not using codes, no. I don't know why, it didn't cross my mind. I'm filling in the clinic and I'm kind of just learning the ropes. And I kind of went with what I saw everybody else was doing and what the
procedure was. The patients you do see nowadays, and you do whatever patients you do, are not on a ICD-10 code.
not believe how naturopathic medicine, according to this board, according to licensure, should be, that people should be taking care of. They're not. And, you know, everybody practices in the state took an oath to protect the patient. And we as board members took an oath to protect the public. And so, which is why we're here. So, I agree. You can't pick this up. And you can't take off the physician's hat and just say everything will be good for medical marijuana. Somebody else will figure it out. I don't think you see that. It was told to the patient that they should go make sure that they're following up. Finances can't play a role in the decisions we make. I mean, the suggestion, I think. The suggestion should be made that the responsible physician, which is where I'm asking people, and the patients can figure it out from there. And so, I agree. These charts don't give me confidence that they're, overall, that they were being seen, dutifully. So, thank you, Dr. McNeil.
Dr. Rubin, Dr. Peel, I agree with the two that I'm looking here at, and I think you mentioned it, Dr. Peel, with this examination. It looks like the exam was actually done by Evan Price for all of the various neurological tests. But I don't see anything here from Dr. Milmus for those exams. So, I think whether we see someone as a client or whether we see them as a patient, the problem we run into is we have to have some type of, and I think you said it, you know, we have to have some type of subjective assessment and plan, whether you're doing psychological work, or whether you're doing, if you're doing physical work, obviously objective. And without that, it's almost impossible for even a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or anybody to follow that note or that chart or that patient. And then primary care, obviously, is a whole different, you know, ballgame. But I think if you're seeing somebody, whether it's for counseling or whether it's for
enormous amount of time reviewing doctors' records and you know, when they're insufficient and they come to us, and then we have to review them. And we had a discussion last week about, you know, how they should be presented to us. We spend time scrolling and reading and taking notes and deciphering, and it's really just unfortunate that there's such a variance in that. Our doctors are not able, don't have the wherewithal to force us to put this in, and that's why we bring it back to training. But we have to take a look at, we have to take a look at chart notes, because it's the responsibility of the board to make sure that physicians we license through this board are practicing responsibly. If we decide that we want doctor to submit records on two patients and we get a look, we're very happy with these patients, then that would be more confident. But here, regardless, the problem is regardless of the volume, regardless of the speed, this doctor, Dr. Milmus, took the job, saw the patient because of the licensure, which she enjoys through this board, and the responsibility is there to act within that licensure. I think we need to see the records.
Okay, I just want to clarify a member of the board. This is Senator Hatta. I just want to clarify a member of Dr. Rubin's comment. Dr. Rubin, you said that in the discussion that I made you a member of the board in the meeting last month.
I did. mean it last month, but that's how kind of pushing in the direction.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think we're in the same situation here that we need to see actual documentation of whatever patient she is being that she's chart noting on, and actual documentation of what those chart notes look like at this point. So I would be in favor of a continuance for examination of chart notes again.
And those would also likely be looking for current practice that she's currently doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Sadlick? Dr. Popio? Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries. Yes, Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 20-158. Dr. Popio notified board staff of an individual using the naturopathic credential in combination with the title of nurse. He further disclosed a concern regarding her COVID-19 testing process and potential inaccurate results. On July 6th of 2020, we also had a complaint from Dr. Lorinda Kwan. She notified the board of an advertisement she saw for Nurse Nikki. An at-large internet search conducted on 6-26-20 found many examples of the use of title naturopath or naturopathic associated with respondent. Respondent goes by several names, but primarily uses naturopathic Nurse Nikki, which is also associated with an LLC. Also found was use of naturopathic Nurse Nikki Chavez McGee, Nicole Chavez McGee, Nikki McGee. Her advertising states naturopathic Nurse Nikki Chavez McGee, RN, BSN, DOLA. Email address is naturopathicnursenikki@gmail.com. Several attempts were made by this investigator to confirm she actually held a nursing license using various combinations of known names used. Those attempts came up with no results from the nursing board. Through internet search and a Facebook posting from Nurse Nikki associated with Med Royale and Dr. Hugh, a naturopathic physician. During a phone call with this investigator, Dr. Hugh confirmed the individual known as naturopathic Nurse Nikki was working at the clinic. He stated she was only performing IVs. The investigator discussed Nikki's use of designation with Dr. Hugh and asked if he was aware that she was doing COVID-19 testing. He stated he was aware she was performing COVID testing, but that it was not associated with his office, reiterating that she was only performing IVs under her nursing credential in his office. He was asked to confirm that she was not being provided test kits through him, and he confirmed that. He was asked if she was reporting the results of the COVID testing to DHS. He said he was not sure, but he did follow up with her. He was asked if she was actually licensed as a nurse. Dr. Hugh reached out to her that day and provided me with a copy of her nursing license. Based on that, she was located on the nursing board website under Nicole Babette Chavez. According to Dr. Hugh, he discussed with Nikki her use of credential upon my original phone call. A second internet search disclosed her continued use of the credentials. Based on all the information gathered up to this point, a notice of a complaint was sent to Ms. Chavez on August 19th, 2020.
Like members of the board, when they're asked, going to recuse themselves from this matter?
I certainly can. If you go ahead and start with it.
The answer is
legal
reasons?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Dr. Buckfield, I recuse myself from this case.
And on 5C-158, Dr. Buckfield is recused from that.
First of all, nice to meet all of you. I'm honored that I was chosen to be your way. So I did open an LLC. As you know, I'm governed by the Arizona Board of Nursing. So I did check in with my nursing board to make sure that everything I was doing was okay, legal. I also checked in and provided emails to Ms. Gail Anthony. When I did check in with my nursing board regarding the practice and the invitation, regarding opening my nutrition, and nutrition, and health and wellness at the nursing team, and my board confirmed that it was okay for me to do so, stating that just as a nurse that works in pediatrics, calls herself a pediatric nurse, and a nurse that works in labor and delivery calls herself a labor and delivery nurse. I work in a naturopathy, therefore it's okay for me to call myself a naturopathic nurse. But I just want to respectfully say that I did this with no knowledge. I try to follow every step possible and make sure that everything else is okay. In response to me being having several different names, I am married. My maiden name is Thomas, but I kept my maiden name and added Ms. E. I have submitted the license to the nursing board, but they have not updated my name. I've done that twice. And if this happens, that I guess my name is going to fold that I do welcome. That's always my nickname since the little girl. Usually when you apply for your license, as you know, you have to apply with your current legal name. I became a nurse 10 years ago, so that's kind of where that discrepancy is occurring. I don't want it to, we thought that I'm trying to work under different names or anything like that. I'm not. Also, my business name does say naturopathic nurse, but I never professed, and I've never, tried to claim that I'm a doctor. I never have. I am currently a nurse practitioner school, so I will eventually be an independent provider, and I do still intend to continue to work with guidance. I'm just a different kind of nurse. I mean differently. So I've always been, ever since I began my career, interested in naturopathy. And so I feel like this will be a field that I continue. And I requested when I replied to Ms. Johnson that I would still be able to keep my same business name if that was any way possible. But I respectfully also replied with, if that was not, possible, even though my nursing board approved it, if your board does not, that I would respectfully modify the business name and et cetera. I do have a medical director, so I'm not a nurse just out here doing whatever I want. I do have Dr. Hu as a medical director. He, as you know, is a naturopathic doctor, and I have recently added a medical doctor to my team, and I also have a nurse practitioner who is also a medical director of mine as well. So, as you know, as a nurse, I have to take orders from a physician or nurse practitioner. I'm not allowed to create any orders if I don't. I have to take orders and receive orders from that team. So I hope I answered most of your questions or addressed everything you were speaking about.
I have a few questions for you, then I'll turn it over to the other board members. Let me start with the colon test kit. Are you doing those via saliva, or how are you doing those? And then the second part of that question is, how did you procure or obtain the colon test kit?
Where do those prescriptions that you're delivering
institutions, then where are those originated?
So the doctor who works through a specific pharmacy that utilizes a composting pharmacy, I think he has several. But I don't know.
Not the ingredients. Where do the prescriptions that allow a nurse to deliver the medication? Who writes the prescription and prescribes it to the patient and then have treatment?
Oh, I see. So all go through doctors. He has to get the order. His ID forms that the patient has to go out for consent.
So there's chart notes in Dr. Who's office on every one of those IVs that you give them. And the patient's been seen, they've been assessed, and they've been prescribed an IV. And then under his direction, you work for him. He then asks you to go for the medication.
Right, that's correct. Like I said, we use secure email. So if, you know, there was a chart note or consent form of how you needed, like, because if I was mobile to the patient's home, they sometimes fill a paper chart, and so then I would go and then upload that to the secure email, and then that's how you would have the email. There are times that a patient will message me first, because like I was mentioning earlier, if it's a friend or a family member or what have you, and then I have to turn that patient over to Dr. Who, and Dr. Who has to give me the order and then go ahead to go in and do that IV.
Even though he hasn't seen the patient, so it's all based on the nursing assessment. He just does it via email. He doesn't actually see the patient. No, no, that's the thing. He's just offering you to do the IVs.
Right. I'm not sure if
the
patient has the that is, even the public health, I know that he does so chronically speak to the patient. He mentioned to me in the doctor requirement that he speaks with each patient individually. So I know he has some insight for himself. When he says he has the patient, I do a assessment, vital assessment. And then if anything is, you know, let's say for example, he has extremely high blood pressure and you see my nursing assessment skills, that would be an appropriate patient to continue giving the IV to, giving me, fluids. Then I will let the physician know, and then the physician, advise me.
Okay, and so can you go, hold on, so you're working exclusively and only under Dr. Who?
That's not correct. I have two other medical directors. One is a medical doctor and one is a nurse practitioner.
Okay, so you're not just a nurse under a naturopathic physician?
Correct.
Okay, I mean, in this state of Arizona, naturopathic isn't really an idea, a type of philosophy per se. It's a licensed body physician to protect that title. The term naturopathic is protected by the board. And so, it sounds like the nursing board said, well, just like a pediatric nurse would call themselves a pediatric nurse, I think you would call yourself a family practice nurse. Because you're then a medical family practice nurse or a naturopathic family nurse, just like they would be medical or osteopathic ICU nurses. And so one is a type of medicine, the other, falls under a spectrum. So could you go over again the discussion you had with Ms. Anthony prior to receiving your LLC during your due diligence period?
I have never spoken with Ms. Anthony. I wasn't aware that I needed to reach out to the naturopathic board of physicians. However, I reached out to my own board, the board of nursing, and that's the board that I,
I thought you said you talked to Ms. Anthony. Okay. So you talked to your board, which is not a naturopathic medical board, but the nursing board, and they gave you their philosophy. Are you an independent provider of nursing care for a naturopathic physician's office?
Oh, I am not allowed to be addition to the library, nor would I have the balls to do that until I get my nurse practitioner's license. So that is to know I cannot be an independent provider. I have to have a medical director that I receive orders from.
Are you an independent contractor? Two.
Right.
That's what I meant. Sure.
No, that's okay. I'm not an independent contractor. I guess I don't understand what you're saying. Are you asking me to be an independent contractor of Dr. Who?
Yeah.
Okay, so everything that we do tax wise is 1099.
Okay, so you're not, got it. So you own your own business, and why did you decide to use the word naturopathic?
Well, and this is where I was trying to mention that I talked to Gail, and it wasn't a physical conversation that was Gail and I had. We corresponded through email. She asked for my explanation, if you will, of kind of the same question, requesting the same information. When I first started out, many years ago, I have five children, the youngest is 2 and the oldest is 13, and my 13-year-old, when he was 1 year old, he was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, which, as you know, is supposed to be an incurable disease. And I got out making up the treatment for my son, and I saw what it did. I saw how it killed my son. And I became fascinated with it. I knew then that that's something that I wanted to be a part of, and I cherished and honored it and admired it. And so my son, 6 months after receiving the treatment, had a repeat colonoscopy with biopsy, and his, not only were the pictures clean, and they were horrible when they first came out, the pictures of his colon, you can imagine, 1 year old, but they not only came out clean, but there were no cells indicating ulcerative colitis at all on the biopsy. And he's now 13 and has been clean ever since. He's never had an issue again. So it was me personally witnessing it firsthand, many years ago. At that point, I knew what I wanted to do. And just speaking out what my options were, I decided to go to medicine school. After I graduated medicine school, I went for an antibody submission in my center clinic. And I got to witness many things there, like high dose IV vitamin C, hyperbaric chamber, hormone therapy, many things that I saw happening in the clinic, changing people's lives and using different techniques. From there, I did some additional naturopaths. We only take cash pay, so that particular year wasn't particularly very busy. So I worked, oddly enough, I went oncology in the hospital. And when I was working oncology, I had many good experiences there as well, but it was a daily struggle to, push medications all day when I knew that there was a better way. Or I would see things like the bag of PTN hanging from a patient and it had dextrose and sucrose. And I didn't understand why would they give that to the patient when in the clinic I learned that sugar feeds cancer. And so it was a whole mix of emotions. And so I knew where I wanted to be and I knew my heart was going to go back to that. So after that stint, I did wound care, home health, and I was able to help people that way with things like Meta Honey, oils, things like that, of that nature. And then from there, I went on to work for a local celebrity nutritionist, Christina Gordon, and she was on, I got to be with her through being on the cover of People Magazine with Oprah, going to New York and being on Good Morning America, Inside Edition and things like that, the doctor's TV show. And I was the lead nurse in that office. And there's a physician down in Tucson that owns his family and her home, the medical schools and the hospitals in Tucson and some in Texas. And they're also starting opening nursing schools in Phoenix and Tucson, which they got me to be a part of. But he was sending his medical students to the clinic, the nutritionist clinic, and I was able to train under his supervision and of course with the board certified nutritionist, train the medical students about nutrition and about how they can incorporate nutrition into their daily practice as medical doctors to prevent, hopefully help prevent some of these diseases and disease processes from occurring in the first place. So that was such a blessing to be able to be a part of that. And then kept in contact with that doctor. And then how this transpired is I went into Dr. Who's office because again, you know, 10 years prior to this, I learned about high-dose vitamin C, corn-free preservative-free non-GMO, and that to me was like the goal because I knew that it had helped with cancer patients. So I went in to get an IV from Dr. Who of this, you know, incredible substance I wanted for my body, and we got to talking, and he, you know, I told him I'm a registered nurse and told him about my history. And we talked about how we could possibly work together. And so from that point, and when I had the opportunity to go ahead and open the MLC and then take some of his patients that he has, you know, was giving orders to see in office or in home if they weren't able to go to the office if they were ill. I've done a couple of not just IV vitamins, but a couple of NMS for patients that he has that were able to come into the office and with his order was able to do that mobile for the patient. So that's how this all basically transpired and where the history came from with me wanting and having this desire. I feel like I don't fit in 100% in the medicinal world. I also feel like since this has come up, I don't 100% fit in this world, and I just feel like I'm just a different person. I'm a different thinker, and I want to find my way, and ultimately, obviously, my goal is I have compassion for people. That's why I became, you know, a nurse in the first place. I want to help people, and that's my desire, and I want to incorporate this into what I'm doing moving forward for forever. This is my passion.
Got it. Thank you for the testimony. I mean, it sounds incredible. It sounds almost like, wow, it's almost like a woman who's been in the nation's health condition. Can I just say that I was considering making a motion to go to the executive session for legal advice?
Oh, that's, I'll second that in a minute. And then we're going to need Anthony to take a roll call on those things.
Dr. Sadlick? Dr. Popio? I'm sorry, Dr. Popio is recused. Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin? Motion carries. Board members, you should have the other. You should have the executive session line that you'll need to use, please.
Okay, so the motion was made by Dr. Rubin at 1:44 to go into executive session, and then we'll go ahead and use the Hansler number, and we'll go into executive session at 1:45.
And everyone else can just hang on the line, and we'll be back.
jail, I am back.
Okay. All right. Would you like me to do roll call, Dr. Sadluck?
Yes, please.
Okay. Dr. Sadluck? Ms. Tibbetts?
Yes.
Ms. Gallen?
Yes.
Dr. Spatt?
Yes.
Dr. Rubin?
Yes.
Mr. Bennett, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So a suggestion might be this, and then I'm going to let the board members go through with you. If you're amenable, then best bet would probably be to come up with a different word and remove the word leisure traffic. If you can come up with a different word besides nature pattern, that will probably be helpful. But that means you're going to have to, the work for you would be you're going to have to go back into various sites, Facebook, Google, et cetera, and get that expunged.
Okay, I can do that.
And let me ask the rest of the board their suggestions and opinions. Let's talk to you, Dr. Spack.
I mean, so I ran into a similar situation where someone else who loves to do traffic management as well. And so this is just some idea, but they use the term holistic medicine instead of that.
Okay. So that's just the one idea I just want to mention that to you. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you.
And
then let's go to you, Dr. Rubin.
I don't have much else to add. I thanks for being such a great nurse.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. You're my best.
Ms. Tibbetts.
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Ms.
Jones? I'm not going to ask.
Okay. So, Nikki, let's try, actually, why don't we do this? We can set, because it's going to take us some time to go through that. So, if the board wants, let's go for within 45 days. You're going to need to go back in. It's fun, clean, you need to do it yourself, the company needs to do it, et cetera. Come up with a different term, and then within 45 days, notify the board that you completed this, 75 days, and additionally, then the executive director will go in and double check that it was all done. So I'll make the motion, because I think it's going to be easier for you if we make this motion, is 45 days to go in, expunge the term naturopathic, come up with a term that's going to get you where you need to go, and we're working from that point within the 45 days.
Okay, will do.
And let me go ahead and I'm going to need a board member to make a second. This is one more second. Okay, so we got a second. And, Ms. Annie, can you go ahead and do roll call?
Yes. Dr. Sadluck?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. So go ahead. We have number six. Ms. Anthony called me today. Number six this morning is resolved. And I'll have her
Dr. Salek, members of the board, this is case number 20-152, Dr. Stephanie Bailey. At the meeting of August 13th, 2020, as a resolution to the board case 20-152, the board voted to offer a consent agreement to Dr. Bailey. The consent agreement had been drafted in the terms and conditions outlined by the board in their motion. At the September 10th meeting, the board requested several changes be made to that draft agreement presented at that meeting. Those changes have been made, drafted into the agreement. Respondent has signed the agreement and is being provided to you today for approval. Yes, so the board has been provided the consent agreement with the changes that were requested at the last meeting. We do have a signed agreement from Dr. Bailey. So it's the agreement with the changes that you requested at the last meeting. So,
the board must approve the agreement, and that is what's before us today. So, whether you're going to approve what the consent agreement has been signed.
Okay, even though we don't have the signed copy, I mean, unless for example, it was given the signed copy this morning.
Yes, correct. Dr. Sadler? Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt? And Dr. Rubin is recused. Motion carries.
Yes.
Dr. Salek, members of the board, at the July 9th, 2020 meeting, the board gave Dr. Warrick an additional 60 days to obtain a practice monitor related to consent agreement 16-059. That was due, that would have made the practice monitor due to be in place by September 7th, 2020. Dr. Warrick has failed to comply. So the matter that stands before you today is Dr. Warrick's noncompliance with his consent agreement. On page 36 of the consent agreement is permanent stayed suspension. Upon the effective date of the consent agreement, respondent's license number 07-1008, is suspended for the duration of the license, but the suspension is stayed as long as the terms of the order are met. If respondent is noncompliant with the terms of the order in any way, the stay of suspension is lifted and respondent's license is automatically suspended. Based on Dr. Warrick's noncompliance, the board may motion to lift the stay, resulting in the automatic suspension of the license.
What happened with your practice monitor?
I have submitted four people to within me over the past 3 months who had initially agreed to do a practice monitor, and after having conversations with some with Anthony, retracted their agreement. I have tried my best to get a practice monitor, and I believe that Ms. Anthony can confirm that there currently is a individual, a doctor, Tom, who is in ongoing conversations with her to potentially become a practice manager. I recognize that the consent agreement that is active gives me no ground for legal appeal. However, as a child of God, I am required to submit to human authority that includes the board. However, I do seek peace with all members of the board. And I beg for mercy. I have been trying my best, and I really think that my effort to comply should be taken into consideration.
How long have we been trying to get this done with you?
My original understanding in reading the consent agreement was that I was only required to have a bulletin monitor while I was prescribing controlled substances. And the language that I'm reading does not say anywhere that I must have a practice monitor. It says that I need to submit a name, and it says that I'm going to say respondent is only permitted to prescribe controlled substances while the practice monitor is in place. If the monitor ceases to continue monitoring, the monitor is immediately restricted from prescribing controlled substances until all the board approved monitor is in place. It does not say that I have to have a monitor in place. But I have, over the past 3 months, worked very diligently to acquire a monitor, sending many, many letters out, asking people to help. And as I said, four of those agreed initially, but after speaking with Ms. Anthony, retracted their agreement. And there is a monitor, potential monitor, currently in discussion with Ms. Anthony.
What are you currently doing?
My practice is mainly acting in the role of a chiropractic assistant. I take vital signs. I ask patients of a chiropractor how the last treatment went, whether they're improved or not, whether they have any new problems. If I detect any issues, I refer the matter to the chiropractor for the chiropractor to address. I also, under the chiropractor's orders, administer various therapies, including ultrasound, diathermy, and G5 massage.
Kenny Duane, the chiropractor, who also is cross-life planning as a naturopath, but refers to practice primarily as a chiropractor, will refer a patient to me for internal medicine. Primarily, that would be nutritional or thyroid. Occasionally, other hormone therapy, but nothing to be controlled.
Are you prescribing thyroid medications,
Ben? Yes. The board reviewed my charts and it included, I think, two thyroid patients.
I did recall that. I'm going to make a motion. My concern for you, obviously, and you stated it, is this is your license. So I'm going to make a motion and go to executive session for legal advice.
And I'm going to need a
second.
Okay, I'll give you a
phone.
Yes. Dr. Sadluck?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Okay.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Are we ready to start again, or do you want to give?
Yeah, so it's 2:54, and we're back in discussion. Want to roll call?
Yes, please. Dr. Sadlick? Dr. Popio? Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin? Looks like we're still missing some people. Dr. Sadlick, are you there?
I'm here.
Did you want?
Yes.
Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Here.
We have quorum.
And Dr. Rubin, are you still online?
Oh, yeah.
So we're into open discussion, and I'll put it back to the board. We, before I do that, there's one quick thing. We have tried numerous times to work with you for a practice monitor. Practice monitors have to follow certain protocols. obtain one or find one that was, we were able to utilize. So with that, let me go back to the board members and get their opinions. So let me start with Dr. Spatt.
I don't have much to add. I've listened to the testimonies of the other members and yours, and I'm continuing to follow along.
Okay. And Dr. Popiel?
Yeah, I don't want to get back into the is a practice monitor required or not, and why we're going to be cherry picking pieces of the consent agreement. I don't want to even get back into it, but it was very clear at the last meeting that he intended to monitor for nutrients, not just prescriptions, but also chart etc. And really evaluate the chart of it, clearly practice monitor is still needed. So I am frustrated that we continue to have to deal with this from years now, and that it continues to be an ongoing issue. I do appreciate that you're starting to find somebody that will monitor your profit. My thought would be is that
of their license. You're going to have to, and this is where the board is struggling, is nobody wants to suspend your license. And if it does get suspended, then you, you know, you have to, as Ms. Tippett said, you know, you have remedies to, you know, try to reapply. But if I were you, and I can do, get, I mean, and Ms. Tippett said, you do have someone possibly in the pipeline, and I say 30 days, no more debate, as Dr. Brookfield said, about this, you know, practice monitor only practice drug. There is no more debate about it. Take that in the consent agreement and just do it. You have 30 days to come up with something. So I'll make a motion, and then I'll need a second, that we will extend the stay for 30 days due to the fact that you have someone in the pipeline to be your practice monitor. Thank you. After that, if you come back in 30 days, and I understand it from a physician's point of view, and I think all the other docs here, even the attorneys too, we all understand it's difficult to find someone to proctor a license. Extremely difficult. And I really wish you luck that you can do this. But if you're not, so my motion is that we basically we keep the stay in place. We got 30 days, and I wish you luck, Ms. Tippett, second, and I'll have Ms. Anthony roll call and clarification if the board members need it.
Is there any further discussion? Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
It is with regards to the qualifications for a practice monitor. I have avoided asking anyone who attended school about the same time that I did, and I wonder if that is a requirement that I avoid these people, or is there the possibility of having somebody that I had incidental association with during class, my schooling, as long as they're not one of my quote good friends, unquote.
Are they licensed? What you're talking about? Do they hold a state medical license?
There are literally a couple hundred, maybe a hundred people that I have shared an affiliation at SUM with, who are still in practice. Some have retired, some have gotten into trouble with the board, but I'm talking about people that, as far as I know, have no problem with the board.
Ask them. Ask whoever you can make, and then give it to Ms. Anthony to see if they qualify.
Well, my question was with regards, it says that I can't have a professional or personal relationship that would compromise the integrity of the monitoring. And so I tried to be a good boy and steer as far away from anybody that might possibly be a problem, but there's a lot of crucial people out there that I could be soliciting who I have tangential association with. And the question is, can I at least pursue these people to see if the board will accept them?
I'm going to have to ask Ms. S. and Ms. Anthony, because I don't see anything that would preclude you from that, but I need their opinion. Do you want to have them just contact you or can we try to call on the other one on the phone?
And so the requirements of the practice monitor are clearly outlined in the consent agreement, and I believe it references a business associate. But again, you know, I have to vet these people one at a time, so it's really going to depend on once they get the information from me too, whether or not they're willing to proceed. And up until this point, nobody has been willing to proceed once they get the information from me.
Okay. So I'm going to take that as a job contract that I have to recruit some candidates that I got who have not been business associates.
Again, I have to vet as they come in, and the qualifications are clearly outlined in the consent agreement.
I don't understand what clearly means. I know what the words mean, but they only accepted to a vendor call, and so I was trying to get a little bit more clarification, but I don't proceed with the assumption that they are fair game subject to your approval.
Dr. Salek, members of the board, this is specifically regarding Chapter 4, which is the medical assistant chapter. These are required every 5 years. Hopefully you've had a chance to read over the report. I did include some of the statutes that are applicable to this area within the report as well. And this is required to be submitted by 10/28. Just putting before the board, did anybody have any questions, any changes that you would like me to make before I submit this?
So we'll need a motion then from the board members. Do we need to put that in the motion, Gail, or are we good to go?
Yes, please, if you wouldn't mind, you could just motion to approve then.
Okay. I'll make a motion and we approve
Can I do roll call, please? Dr. Sadler?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin?
Oh, I thought I said that. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. Motion carries. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
And that would be the executive session. I move that we approve that.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yeah.
Yes. Any opposed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a member of the board for 9A, I
Hold on, I just need to get this battery charged up. Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, I think that we had gone through A and we were in the middle of B when I think this happened. So I think Dr. Sadik, you made a motion to accept.
Yeah.
And was Dr. Rubin, was it you? They did a second. Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
C, draft minutes October 2020. That's the executive session. I'll make the motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And so, board members, I apologize. We're having multiple issues with the folks that are at CSB that do our billing and all of that. So I do not have the numbers for you for the last couple months. My apologies. And they are assuring me they're hiring people to help them with this. So hopefully they'll get that straightened out and we'll have these numbers for the next meeting. Were there any questions about B or C? So there's 5 medical marijuana and 1 standard of care. And then are you referring to the formal hearing cases?
Yeah, and that's for that under investigation then only. We have 2 or 3 pending for all?
We actually have 4, 2 for one person and 2 for another person.
Okay. And those are pending for all?
Correct.
Does anyone have any future agenda items they would like to have discussed in the November meeting? No. And then we will do a call to the public. Anyone have any questions? Okay, going once, going twice. Thank you.